Today's daf is Tezayin Menachos. We are finishing up Tezvav on the days, and we'll start today's daf. Okay, we're going through the second paragraph of Menachos, and the topic of discussion has been consistently Piggle. When we start the new daf today in Tezayin, we're going to enter into one of the more classic discussions within the world of Piggle, and that's being Mefagel Bechatzi Matir. It's something that we spoke about in the past, and when we start the daf, we start with a new Mishnah, and we'll get to that in just a moment. We do have to finish up a little bit from yesterday's daf. The Gemara yesterday talked about basically Ikar V'Tafel, main and ancillary. So in the world of Ikar V'Tafel, so if you are Mefagel the Ikar, so the Tafel comes along for the ride. The opposite is not true. If you're Mefagel the Tafel, so the Ikar doesn't come along for the ride. So we gave a number of examples of this idea of Ikar V'Tafel. So for example, we saw yesterday in the Mishnah, back on Tezvav Amud Aleph, carbon toda and the lachmei toda. Toda, the animal itself, the lachmei toda, the breads that come along with the toda. So the lachmei toda, or the tafel, the bread, the toda itself is the Ikar. So if I have pigle on the toda, so the lechem comes along for the ride. Another example the Mishnah gave was the shnei kvasim that are brought on Shavuos. Shnei kvasim that are brought on Shavuos. Together with that, you have the shtei alechem, the two loaves of bread. So again, the shnei kvasim, the two lambs, they're the ikar, and the shtei alechem come along with that. So again, same basic concept. Okay, this is a big part of a discussion that we had yesterday. We are towards the bottom of the page. We are Rabbi Abba Zute. Rabbi Abba Zute, we're in the last short line of the page on Tezvav Amud Beis. So by lehachi, by minei Rav Elazar mei Rav. Question that Rav Elazar asked from Rav yesterday, if you remember, two versions of what the question Rav Elazar asked from Rav was. Okay, the Gemara is going to have a third version of what exactly the question was. Hashochet is the keves lechol kizayis mechavero lemachar. Let's say like this: I shech the keves, I shech one of the lambs, and I say I'm going to eat a kizayis of its friend tomorrow. So mechavero. So when I say its friend, right? In other words, it could really have, when you say its companion, it could be two companions that we're talking about. Number one, we know there are shtei kvasim, we know that there are two lambs. So mahu, chaveru keves mashma, v'lo mefagel. So it could be talking about the other lamb. And look, they are two separate lambs. When I'm doing a vote on one animal, I can't have a machshava. It won't work if I have a machshava about some other animal, even if it is its companion. Or when he says its friend, maybe the friend over here means the other companion, which is its lechem. And as we learned back in the Mishnah, that right, they go together, and pigle on the animal would in fact work on its bread. So the answer is pretty clear, because we're going to see it in just a moment. In the Mishnah on the top of Tezayin Menalf, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Shechet echem nekvasim lechom meimenu lamacher, pigol vechavero kasher. Lechom mechavero lamacher, shneim ksherim. The Mishnah could not be any clearer. When we say chaver, we mean its companion animal, not the companion bread. So ama chavero keves mashma. The Gemara says the proof is not compelling. Dilma perhaps, the parish va'amar chaveru kevesh. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where you actually said the companion, the lamb. Maybe that's what the Mishnah meant, and even the Mishnah wasn't clear about that, but in other words, the proof is not compelling. A little bit more we have to go on this topic of Ikar V'Tafel. Hazevach Mefagel Nesachim Mishikisha B'Kli Divrei Meir. So the carbon zevach is going to be mefagel nesachim. Together with every carbon, we have nesachim, we have libations that go along. With, I should say, not every carbon, but most carbonos, you have nesachim. Oil, wine, flour, that are brought in conjunction with every carbon, these are what's called nesachim. They're accessories. So here, classic Ikar V'Tafel discussion. So if they're accessories, so we know that if I have pigol machshava on the carbon, the nesachim are going to be included. The iser pigol is going to spread to the nesachim. However, at what point exactly? So Rav Meir says the moment that it goes into the kli. Nesachim are not going to be mefagel hazevach. So ketzad. So again, so let's go over exactly how this would work. Hashochet es hazevach lechomi menu lamachar. I take a carbon and I say I'm going to eat it tomorrow. Let's say that we're talking about a chatas or an asham, where tomorrow is an inappropriate day. It's chutzas mano. Hu unisachav mifugalim. So it spreads. Pickle's going to spread because you had a machshavas pickle on the ikar, on the main, which is the animal. So pickle's going to spread to the nisachim as well. Lahakriv nisachav lamachar. So what if I say I'm gonna bring the nesachim tomorrow? So your machshava did not go on the animal. Your machshava went on the nesachim. So hanesachim mifugalim hazevach ena mifugal. So says the Mishnah. So the nesachim are going to be affected with pigel, but it's not going to spread back to the animal because the nesachim is the tafel and the animal is the ikar. Tanu rabban nischei behema chayav and love mishum pigel mipnei shadam hazevach matiram likrav divra meir. Okay, the nesachim of an animal, you're going to be chayav for pickle. Why? Because the blood of the animal is matir the nesachim to be offered on the mizbeach. Divrei Meir, such as the opinion of Meir. Amlo Meir v'alo adam evi zivcho hayom nesachav ad yud yamim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When you bring a karban, the nesachim don't have to be brought that day. Nesachim could be brought later, even 10 days later. So Amalahem Afanilo Amarti Ela Bibaim Im Hazabach. Now he says, no, what do you mean? I'm talking about when they're offered together with the carbon. Amaleh Shalish Nosal Zevachir. So the Chachamim still say, look, you can always switch. If you have Nesachim, even though you earmarked it for one carbon, you can detach it from that carbon and attach it to another carbon. So basically Nesachim are never really locked into a carbon. And just because you had a machshav on the nesachim doesn't necessarily going to affect the carbon. So Amar Rav Kasav Rav Meir Huk for Bishchita Kalach Metoda. So the Gemara points out that according to Rav Meir, when do they become established together with Shchita, just like Lach Metoda? Meaning, Rav Meir disagrees with that very principle. Rav Meir is of the opinion that nesachim are locked in at the point of Shchita. So once they're locked in at the point of Shchita, so then yes, so then these nesachim are in fact together with the carbon. Tan Rabbanan Lok Shem Shom Matzor Chayav and Lami Shem Pigel Menishe Dam Asham Matiro LeBahonis Diver Rav Meir. And what the Gemara now is going to do is just going to show us other applications of this idea of how things get locked in. For example, the Matzor has Lok Shem. There's a log of oil. When you shecht the Asham of the Matzor, the log of oil that you set aside for this Matzor now is locked in. So, could be subject to Pigel. So what do you mean? You don't have to bring your log shaman today. A mitzvah, if you want, can bring the carbon ashram today, and the log shaman you can bring 10 days from now. No, so Rav Meir says I'm talking when it was actually offered with the ashram. So Amalei again, same discussion. You can always take the log shaman and attach it to another carbon ashram. So Amar Rava Kasav Rameir Huk for Bishchita Kalach Metoda. And again, same story. Rameir's of the opinion that once you shecht your carbon asham, the log is locked in, the log shem is locked in, and therefore subject to the discussion of pigel. Okay? Good. That ends yesterday's daf, and that ends the discussion of Iker and Tafel, the main and the ancillary. Okay, now we begin today's daf, and today's daf we start off with a basic discussion about pigel, and that's being mefagel bechatzi matir. Okay, sometimes the mincha is the best example. Sometimes you need to do two things in order to permit the karban. Okay, so let's talk about a karban mincha. Because generally speaking, by karban mincha, before I get to eat the shiraim, or before the kohanim get to eat the shiraim, two things have to happen. I have to burn the kemitza, the fistful of flour, and I have to burn the lavona. So that's one and two. So that's what's called shnei matir, and that there are two permitters. There are two triggers. Then when both of them are offered, then and only then can I eat the shirayim. Okay. So what if I have a machshava pigel of one of the two? So it's a basic machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rav Meir is of the opinion that that's enough. That's enough to create pigel, even though I only had a machshava pigel for one of the two. Now remember, it's important that in the world of pigel, it's not pigel until everything's done. right? Pigel is only a discussion. Pigel is only becomes a reality when you finish off the avodah of everything. So no one's going to suggest that pigel happens when you do only one of two. That's not up for discussion. What is up for discussion, however, is if I have a machshav of pigel, chosuz mano, for only one of the two, but I did both of them, so are we going to have an iser of pigel? So Rameir says yes. Rameir says that Shemafaga b'chatzi matir, and the Chachamim of our Mishnah, which we're about to learn, says no, that pigel is only when I have both matirim in mind. Okay, there's going to be a number of examples of being Mefaga b'chatzi matir, so forth and so on. I'm going to make this point clear right now, even though I didn't show this to you earlier. Rashi earlier points out the following. Rashi back on Yadalit. Okay, but I'll make this point very clear right now. When we talked about the mincha, there are four avodas of the carbon mincha. There's the kemitza, there's putting the kemitza into another bowl, bringing the bowl to the mizbeach, and burning it on the top of the mizbeach. And I do the same thing for the lavona as well. For the act of kemitza, that by itself is for sure going to create pigel. And there's no debate over there that the act of kemitza by itself is going to create pigel. And you could ask me, well, I don't understand. Kemitza is not the only thing up for discussion. It's doing a kemitza of the flour, and there's also I got to take the lavona off the top as well. So what do you mean kemitza by itself? According to everybody, meaning no Rav Meir Chachamim, according to everybody, the act of kemitza by itself, and I say while doing the kemitza, I can't wait to eat this carbon mincha tomorrow, which is chutzuz mano, that according to everybody is going to be pigel, assuming that all the other steps are done. Why? So Rashi above said that's different, because there the act of kemitza is the full avoda. Meaning when I put my fist into the flour and pick it up, that's it. Meaning I've accomplished a full and complete stage of the avodah. See, but that's not true when it comes to burning. When it comes to the haktara, when it comes to burning, it's not burning the chametz, that's not it. It's burning the chametz plus burning the lavona. Though, so in the world of haktara, in the world of burning, I need to do both of them. Lavona and the kemitza. I got to burn both. You don't have to do a kemitza of the lavona, right? It's a good question, but you don't have to do a kemitza of the lavona. The lavona, you just simply scrape off the top, but you don't have to do a fistful. You just simply take it off the top. You could just cup your hands, and that's all you need to do. Okay, I'll make that clear, and you'll see. By the way, I'll show you a couple of Rashi's today in today's daf, where Rashi also, it's very clear that. That distinction, which Rashi himself made earlier, is absolutely correct.
Can you say, when the kemitza is done, the avodah is done, which part of avodah is done? The complete avodah is done?
No, or just avodah? That stage. That stage of the avodah now is completed. Meaning, there are four stages, but that stage of kemitza is actually completed. Okay, now let's see the Mishnah inside. We're on the Mishnah, we're on the top of Tazayin and Aleph. A pigel becometz v'lo b'lavona. So let's say, amefago becometz. Look at Rashi. Rashi couldn't be any clearer. The haktaras kometz. Rashi says, what are we talking about? The burning of the kometz. Right? Well, why is Rashi telling us that? So I know why. I told you why. Because we are now talking at the stage of burning, and at the stage of burning, there is kemitza and there's lavona. So they're together. Mm-hmm. So there are two parts to burning. So pigel becomes v'lo b'lavona. So if I had a machshavas pigel for the burning of the flour, but not for the lavona, b'lavona v'lo becomes, or a mayor, omer pigel v'chayav and lav karis, or a mayor says, good. Good, of course, over here means bad. But good, good meaning you've made pigel. You've established it to be pigel because Rameer's of the opinion that Shemafaga b'chatzi matir. Even though you only had one of the two, enough. The Chachamim omrim ein bo karetz ad shifaga b'chol ha-matir. And the Chachamim say, no, pigel, you have to have the entire matir in mind. Umodim Chacham l'Rameir. So let's see where they would agree. B'minchas chote b'minchas kena'os. When I have a carbon minchas chatos, right, one of the three minachos that are considered a minchas chote, and the parshas vayikra, for the three averos, or the mincha v'sota, in both of those cases, no lavona. She pick up a comment, she who pick up a chayav alav karsha. Come into a matir. It's so obvious. In fact, I'm not even sure why the Mishnah needs to make this clear. But because there's no lavona over there, so machshava of burning of comments by itself would in fact establish bigel. Okay, other examples where we see the shachar echam nekvasim lechol beis chalos lamachar. Let's say I shecht one of the lambs of Shavuos, and that's not enough. Meaning for that, you need to shecht both of the lambs. You can't eat the shtei alechem until I shecht both of the lambs. So shachar echam nekvasim lechol beis chalos lamachar. Hikter echam minam bazichim lechol beis adam lamachar. Another example, says the Mishnah. Two spoonfuls on the lechem upon him. Let's say I burn one of the spoons, or the contents of the spoons, right, the lavona in that spoon, with the intent of eating the lechem upon him tomorrow. So one of the spoons, that's only a chatzi matir, that's only half the matir. So Rameir Omer Pigov Achayav on Lav Karetz V'chachamim Omerim Ein Bo Karetz Ashiyafag V'chol Ham Matir. Okay? Same story. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Intent. Is intent verbalized?
Yes. We're gonna assume that throughout. That intent has to be verbalized, otherwise we're going to be left guessing. We normally assume yes. Shachar echa min hakvasim lechol mimenu lamachar. The last case in the Mishnah. Let's say I shecht one of the lambs of Shavuos to eat lechol mimenu lamachar, to eat it tomorrow. Hu pigol v'chaver kasher. So the lamb that I had a machshavas pigol, that's going to be pigol. The other lamb, however, which I didn't have a machshava for, and even if I did, but the other lamb that I didn't have a machshava for is not subject to pigel. Lecho mechaver olamachar. Mishnah should sound familiar because we quoted this Mishnah at the beginning of today's daf. If I consider eating its friend over here means the other lamb. Shneim ksherim, they're both off the hook. Why? Because I can't have a machshavas pigel on while doing one carbon about another carbon that doesn't work. It doesn't pickle can only be a machshava about the carbon that I'm currently involved in. So if I have a machshava while doing one lamb about the other lamb, shneim ksherim, they're both okay. A, this lamb that I'm working with right now, I didn't have a machshava about this one that I'm working with right now. And B, the other lamb that I had in mind, well, I'm not working with that lamb, I'm only working with this lamb. So as a technicality, you are, both lambs are going to still be kosher. All right.
If there are two material, if they are interconnected, they are considered one unit. If they are not, they are separate. Like they have some connection. Like
they obviously have a connection because I can't eat.
Physically, like
right.
And Levona, they have a physical connection.
Yeah, they're physically connected, that's true.
They're considered one unit, but if they don't, they're not separate.
But still, even though they're connected, even though Levona sprinkled on top of the Mincha, they're still considered Shtei Matirim. They're still considered two permitters.
No, because of Pigel, they're considered as a one unit.
In terms of pigol, but no. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, which is the accepted position, if I only have a machshava pigol for one of those two, while I'm burning the comets, I'm thinking pigol, that's not enough. Uh-huh. I have to think pigol for burning of the comets and burning of the lavona, even though your point is very well taken, meaning they're both put in place into the same bowl.
Make it pigol more difficult to do.
Yeah, in other words, correct, but you're correct. In other words, to actually accomplishing pigel is very difficult.
Yeah,
right. We in Zvachim, I think we arrived at the same conclusion. It's just hard to do, but it's very, very legally defined. It's one of those things. You know, the Gemara in Zvachim we spoke about a lot. Here in Menachos we're going to speak about it not as much, but we're speaking about it a lot. So because the definition of pigel is very, very clear in terms of what needs to happen.
Is this a Kohen speaking, or the person is actually giving it? Wouldn't the Kohen know better?
Yeah, he should. The Kohen should know better. He's got a 5-year training period before he serves as a Kohen. So yes, he absolutely should know better. Look, with any Isser in the Torah, you could make the same comment. You know, you should know better. But still, you know, we're human beings and we have free choice and. He can do it. Cohen can do it. Right. Well, that's a different story. But just dealing with, we're just defining the Isser here. We got to know what the Isser is, and then we could say to the Cohen, you know, you shouldn't be doing that.
You said that it has to be verbalized. You said that it has to. If he thought otherwise.
Well, because every time the Mishnah uses the word pigle, it talks in terms of machshav. So the confusion is, if I'm confusing, that's my fault. But the Mishnah is confusing because it uses pigle in the terms of machshava. And don't even blame the Mishnah. The Torah describes pigle in terms of a machshava. But a machshava, though, we're going to assume, Rishonim say that machshava here in this context means it has to be articulated. Okay. The discussion that's going to take us through a good part of today's daf, most of today's daf, is the following. Let me say it outside and then we're going to see it inside. The opinion of Rav goes like this. Look, we've just established, let's assume like the Chachamim, that in order for pigle to transpire, you have to have a machshava pigle for the entire act of the avoda that you're doing. So if it's the burning, so I have to have pigle for both the burning of the comets and the burning of the Lavona. Okay. What if, let's put it this way. What if I have a machshavas pigol for the first one, and then for the second one I say nothing? So, is there a carryover? In other words, when in the world of machshava, is there a follow-through in machshava? Meaning, I didn't think anything, or more importantly, I didn't say anything for the second act. So for the first one, for the burning of the comets, I said, I'm eating the mincha tomorrow, and he throws the kamitza onto the fire. And then he goes to the lavona, he picks up the lavona, and he puts it on the fire, and he doesn't say anything. Can we assume that whatever, in other words, is there an assumed ditto?
Is there a connection?
Well,
that's a machlokes.
It's going to be a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel.
Well, yeah, if you say it's one korban, even though you have two lamb, then it's
okay.
Lamb.
All right, not. Right. So it's going to be a machlokes. We're going to see Rav and Shmuel in just a moment. But basically, the question that we're going to deal with for a good part of today's daf is: when I said it for one, I said it. I said I'm going to eat it tomorrow, and then I'm doing two. But for two, I don't say anything. So is there going to be a carryover from one into two? Okay, so I'm a Rav. So Rav's going to be very clear about how he feels. Machlokish nasan as the comments b'shtika, vessel of ona b'machshava. Aval nasan a comments b'machshava. But let's say he offered the comments up b'machshava. Machshava over here means he said, I'm going to eat my mincha tomorrow. Not today, tomorrow. Vessel of ona, and then while burning the lavona b'shtika, he doesn't say anything. Divrei hakol pigol. Everybody agrees it's pigol. Shekola osa al das rishonahu osa. Because your second act is follow up your first act. And since your first act was a machshava of chutzas mano, your second act is going to be assumed to be chutzas mano as well. That is the opinion of Rav. It's a little deceptive, if I may point out. He says, how komodim, everybody agrees. Yes, everybody agrees, but the agreement over here is not an agreement in principle, right? It's not because the Chachamim said to Rav Meir, Rav Meir, you're right. No. It's everybody agrees over here because effectively you did have a machshava for one and two. Because we're going to assume that since you were quiet for two, your machshava for one carried over into two. So the hakomodim, everybody agrees over here, is somewhat misleading. All right, but still. Okay, if you understood that point, great. If not, it's fine. The point is that the Chachamim will agree over there that there's going to be pigol. Ushmul amar adayin hi machlokes, and Shmuel says, no, and according to the Chachamim, you must say, both for the burning of the comet and the burning of the Lavona, that I'm going to eat a chutzas mano. So, Yosef Rav of Kamar al-Hashmaisa. So, move a generation later. Two generations later. So in other words, we just experienced the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, first generation of Amoraim. Now you're going to go to Rav, and Rav is chazering over the discussion of Rav and Shmuel. So Esve Rav Acha Barav Huna L'Rava. So Rav Acha Barav Huna asks Rav the following question. Okay, based on a braisa. Look, when do we say that pigol, machshava's pigol is a machshava in of itself? That's for the kmitza, the act of kmitza. That's for matan bekli, placing the fistful of flour into a second kli. That's for holacha, walking it over. However, avabala lahaktar, but once you get to the point of burning, so now there are two parts of burning. So now, since the comments b'shtika v'esalavona b'machshava, as the comments b'machshava v'esalavona b'shtika, Rav Meir Omer pikov v'chayev n'lav kares. The Chachamim Omerim ain bo kares ad shi'efaga b'chol hamatir. The Braisa says very clearly that here you have to have a machshava for both, and if you have a machshava for one and quiet for the other, if you're quiet for one and have a machshava for the second, according to the Chachamim, it's not pigol. Now, the question here is very clear. Ketani mias, what we said in the Braisa, nothing as it comes by machshava vessel of anabishtika. Upligi. There's a machlokis in the Braisa, even when you had a machshava for one and you were quiet for the second one. Okay, and that's going to be very difficult, because Rav's of the opinion that if you had a machshava for one and you were quiet for the second, there's carryover. And the Braisa over here that we just quoted said, there is no carryover. You must have a positive machshava for both burning of the comets and the burning of the Lavona. So the Gemara defends Rav, or at least tries to defend Rav. Ema the Kvar Nasana Salavona Bishtika Mikara. So the Gemara, as a suggestion to try to defend Rav, says, well, maybe the Braisa is talking about a case where, I know the Braisa gives an order of, you had a machshava and you were quiet, but maybe the Braisa is talking about a case where you first gave the Lavona, and afterwards you burnt the Lavona, and afterwards you burnt the comets. And when you burned the Lavona, you were quiet, and now we're burning the comets, you had a machshava. You said, I'm going to eat a chutzas mano. So the Gemara says, that's a very difficult shot in the Braisa. Shtei tshuvas bedavar. So chada dahinu kamaisa. So first of all, the first problem, which is so obvious, is that if you reread the Braisa gives two examples. If you're telling me that the second case of the Braisa is where first the Lavona was offered quietly, and then afterwards the Kometz was offered with a Machshava, so case one and case two are the same case. And why would the Braisa be repeating cases? And that's number one. Va'od hatanya karkach. So, and on top of that, there's a Braisa that says acharkach, which means that there's a Braisa that says very clearly that the Braisa is talking chronologically. First you did one b'machshava and the other one you did b'shtika. So it's not a good defense of Rav. The Braisa is clearly talking about machshava for one, shtika for the second, and still the Chachamim say that's no good. And according to Rav, that should be good. So the Gemara gives another defense for Rav. Tirgama Rav Chanina, the Beis Deos. So two people, two Kohanim. Oh, this is better. This is a good defense. Right? It's an Ukimta. In other words, we're giving a case over here. We're constructing a case, but still, it's a great defense. Meaning we are dealing with two Kohanim, right? You don't have to, the Mincha doesn't have to be burnt by one Kohen. It could have two Kohanim involved. So now, one Kohen is burning the Lavona, and the second Kohen is burning the comets. Now, good, now it makes perfect sense. I need both of them to have a machshava. And here we can't say carryover. Because just because one Kohen had a machshava doesn't mean the other Kohen is going to have a machshava. Okay. But lu yitzu, but had the case been where it was one Kohen, and for the burning of the comets he said, tomorrow I'm going to eat it. And then for the burning of the Lavoni he says, nothing. We could talk about carryover. How the second act is a carryover of the first act, and just like the first act was with a machshava of chutzas mano, so too the second act as well is. Okay. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, try that very same move that you just did with the following case. Look, in order for it to be pigol, it has to be that the machshava is for an avoda. Now, for the Zrikas Adam, for the sprinkling of the blood, how many sprinklings do you need to do? All right, so we know, sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes four. But even when there's four, like for example, the Karban Chatas, how many of those are essential? The correct answer is one. Well, the correct answer is Machlokes Beishamai and Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel says one, we follow one. Correct answer is one. So when you do a sprinkling of a Karban Chatas, one is essential, so when a machshava for that one creates pigol. Okay. However, The Brisa points out, "Vamed var mamorim b'damim antam amizbech hachitzon, aval dam anitanim amizbech hapnimi." But what if it's a chatas hapnimi? And let's make this exciting. Let's talk about Yom Kippur, where there's a lot of sprinkling going on. Kigon, mem gimel shel Yom HaKippurim, 43 sprinklings of Yom Kippur. Okay, let's do this quickly. Right, we went through all this in Zvachim. Let's do this quickly. 43 sprinklings, and by the way, 43 is a low number. Right, 48 we're going to talk about later this morning. How do we get to 43? So remember, on Yom Kippur, there are two animals that we're talking about, the par of the Kohen and the Seir LaHashem. And we're going to shech both of those karbanos, and we're going to sprinkle the blood of both of them independently, and then eventually we're going to mix them together. So let's go each one. So I take the blood of the Seir. Now, which one comes first? I think the Seir is first. Right? Or the bull first?
The bull first.
The bull's first. Okay? So we take the blood of the bull, and the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he sprinkles Bein Habad in between the two poles. 8 times in there. Achas lam, achas lamala, v'achas lamata, achas lamala, shtayim lamata, right? Achas, achas, v'achas, achas, v'shtayim. Right? Remember Yom Kippur? So, it's been a while. Also, it's a leap year.
It's coming,
Yom Kippur's coming up. Right, after the Seder, that's it. It's Yom Kippur. So that's eight inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then you're going to go outside, you're going to sprinkle in the direction of the Parochis, and again, Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Achas, V'Shtayim, so it's another 8. So that's 16. Okay, now you did 16 for the bull. You're going to do another 16 for the goat, so that's 32. Okay, we're close. Then You're going to combine the two bloods together. You're going to sprinkle 4 on the 4 corners of the Mizbeach. So that's now already 36. Okay. Then 7 B'ti Haro. Another 7 onto the center of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So 7 plus 36, 43.
Okay. What is the other fact?
One
upward. Huh?
You said 48.
And we'll get to that. No, not on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. It's only on the Bein Habadim and only on the Parochas. Okay, so anyway, the point is like this. Okay, so let's see the Brayis inside. Kigon, Kigon Mem Gemul Shel Yom HaKippurim. V'Achas Asrei Shel Par Kohen Mashiach. V'Achas Asrei Shel Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur. Now, when we learn back then Horios, the sprinkling of the inner chatos. So if it's not Yom Kippur, if it's just the par of the Kohen Gadol, or the par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur, so there the magic number is 11, right? 7 against the Parochas, 4 on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Anyway, point like this. Pigel, Bein Berishona, Bein Bishnia, Bein Bishlishis. Now we're going to talk in terms of sets. 3 sets. Our first set is going to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Our second set is going to be up against the Parochas. And the third set is going to be on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So we're going to talk in terms of sets. So if I have a Machshava Pigel, for any one of those sets, Rameir Omer Pigel V'Chayav Malavkar. So Rameir says, good, that's enough. That's enough to create Pigel, because even though it's Chatzi Matir, you didn't have a Machshava Pigel for all the other sprinklings, but it doesn't matter, Rameir says, sufficient, because Rameir is of the opinion that you're mefaga b'chatzi matir. The Chachamim remain b'karsai shifaga b'chola matir, and the Chachamim say you have to have a machshava pigol for all 43 sprinklings of Yom Kippur. Now, good. Another application of our machlokes between Rameir and the Chacham. That's good. What interests us right now is, remember what Rav says. Rav says that if you start with a machshava pigol, even though you're required for anything after that, you carry over. Your machshava will carry over for everything you do after that. Ketani mi apigol bein brishona bein mishnia bein mishlishis upligi. Now it comes out now that if I had a machshava pigol for the first set, and then for set 2 I was quiet, and for set 3 I was quiet, and the chachamim are still saying it's not pigol, and Rav is telling us that if you had to start off with a machshava pigol, there's carryover all the way through. So we're stuck with a difficulty on Rav. Now, the last time we asked this question, just about 8 lines ago in the Gemara, so our defense is we're talking about 2 different Kohanim. But this is Yom Kippur. This is going to get tricky.
There's only one.
Because on Yom Kippur, there's only one person doing the Avodah, and his name is Kohen Gadol. And so now you're going to have to, in defense of Rav, what are you going to have to suggest? You're going to have to suggest that this Kohen Gadol went down, and we went to the bullpen, and we're going to get...
But not only that, but he actually transmitted what his...
Wait, just wait.
...the second time before he died, saying you had a pickle thought and you got to carry it on.
Right. So we're going to... And we're going to go to the bullpen, and we're going to get another Kohen Gadol from the bullpen. So you want to try that move over here? Where we're going to... We're, in defense of Rav, we're going to talk about a case where the first set of sprinklings were done by one Kohen Gadol. He went down for whatever reason, either physically or halachically, he went down. And we went and we got another Kohen. So now, this is where it's going to get tricky. Because if you're bringing in if you're going to the bullpen to get another Kohen, so there is a machlokus in the Gemara in Yuma. Okay? In order to do the Avodah and Yom Kippur, so the Torah is very clear. You, the Kohen, have to go in bipar. You need to go in with your own bull. So when you go to the bullpen, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize how good this, or how bad this analogy is. But when you, it could be worse.
Now let's hear.
But when you go there, when you go to the bullpen, does the Kohen Gadol actually need to bring his own bull into the avoda, or can he use the bull of the previous Kohen Gadol?
Is it going to get paused? It starts over.
Right. One opinion in the Gemara in Yuma is that you don't need your own bull, you just need the blood of a bull. So, in other words, Kohen Gadol went down, so the next Kohen Gadol, right, I was going to say we'll call him for the lefty, but you realize we can't call the lefty. Can't use the lefty. Right, not for this. So we'll call the closer in and we'll. So if you're of the opinion that you can use the Damo, that he could use the bull of the previous Kohen Gadol, so then yes, we actually can construct a case that would actually serve as a defense for Rav. Okay? Now again, the actual for this case to actually happen, forget how plausible it is, doesn't matter. It's a case that can be constructed. So it would work. So in other words, so what just happened is that the first Kohen Gadol did the first set of sprinkling and had a machshava of pigel. And for whatever reason, he couldn't continue. Now we go to the next Kohen Gadol, and he can use the same blood. And he's just going to sprinkle right where the first Kohen Gadol left off. So, and that's why, had it been the first Kohen Gadol doing it, so Rav would say, carry over. Whatever he does for set two and for set number three, even though it was done quietly, is a carryover of set number one. But because there's a new Kohen Gadol, and he didn't say anything for set number two and set number three, there's no carryover from set number one. Great. But El Hanich Lamanda Bapar Vafil Badamashal Par. Elamanda Bapar Velobadamashal Par Maikala Meymar. So, however, there's another opinion in the Gemara that says that when you have to bring in a new Kohen Gadol to substitute the old Kohen Gadol, even though the Kohen Gadol did the sprinkling of the bull, even though he did one set or even did two sets, if it's replaced by another Kohen Gadol, you got to start over with a new bull. So if that's true...
That doesn't even apply to our analogy then.
Right, so then we can't... Right, so... So we have no defense of Rav because we can't construct a case where you would have a second Kohen Gadol replacing the first Kohen Gadol without him having to bring in a new bull. So Amar Rav, Hachabai Ma'iskin, Gagon, Shepigal B'Rishon, V'Shasak B'Shnia, U'Pigal B'Shlishis. Okay, so we're going to have another defense of Rav. Maybe the case over here is like this. Maybe you had the Kohen Gadol had a machshava for set number one, meaning in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you realize, by the way, and I know it bothered some of you earlier this morning, right? You realize we're talking about a Kohen Gadol having machshavas pigel on Yom Kippur while in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right. I know, right? It's strange. It's obviously strange. But when we talk about legally defining Isurim, so yeah, in other words, emotionally speaking, right, I dare a Kohen to think like this, but we're not emotional right now, we're being legal. We're legal minds right now, and we are dealing with the scenario of what if the Kohen had such a machshava? So Rav in defense of Rav says like this. So while doing the first set in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, So he has a machshava pigel. For the second set, which is up against the paroches, no machshava. And for the third set, while the mizbeach apnimi, he has a machshava. So, machshava, no machshava, machshava. That would be the case, and that would be the defense of Rav. How is that a defense of Rav?
The Gemara? Second one missing, though.
Ah, because the Gemara argues like this. Isa, the first wide line on the page. Isa kadacha dechola osa al das rishono osa. Mihader piguli bishlishis lamali. Yeah. So because if there really is carryover, and Rav is a big believer in carryover, if there really is carryover, so why do you have a machshav of pigul by the third set? Oh, I know why. Because for that second set where he was quiet, he really didn't have a carryover. And that's why when he got to the third set, he's like, oh, wait. I forgot. Pigul. Chutzus mano. Right? So that would be the case that Bryce is dealing with. But if he only had a machshava for one and not for two and not for three, carryover. And Rav says, and that would be my defense. And again, by the way, this is Rava defending on behalf of Rav.
Well, so, isn't the Bechlal a problem with the second one? Because the original Kavanah is not being... In other words, the second one did not have the Kavanah of the first. So the
Gemara is going to ask a similar question to yours in just a moment. Similar, not exactly the same. But maybe the Gemara's answer will satisfy. So, Maskevla Ravashi, Midi Shata Katani... So Rav Ashi says, look, nice. In other words, right, brilliant. But if you read the words of the Braisa doesn't say the word Shasak. Meaning you are imparting a story into the Braisa, but the Braisa doesn't read that way. That's number one. Ela Amar Rav Ashi Achav Amayiskin Kagon Shepigol Berishona Uvishnia. And we'll take out the word Uvishlishis. It looks like it doesn't belong over there in the Gemara. Alright, so we'll say like this. Similar, but we won't have to deal with the problem of shtika. He had a machshava pigol for set one. He had a machshava pigol for set number two. And then he was quiet for set number three. Now, Rav is a big believer in carryover. If you are a big believer in carryover, you only need a machshava pigol for set one, and that would be it. Why did he go out of his way to have a machshava for set number two? It must be that because for set number three, he really didn't have a machshava pigul. So the Gemara says, again, that's nice, but doesn't fit into the words of the Braisa. Just wait a second. Give me one moment. Give me five words. Vaha bain bain kitani. Doesn't really fit into the words of the Braisa. The Braisa says, whether he had a machshava for the first set, or he had a machshava for the second set, or he had a machshava for the third set, the simple pshat of the Braisa is, a machshava pigul for any one of those sets is sufficient. Kasha, the Gemara ends off by saying, you know what? Yes, it's difficult. Really, truth be told, after learning this Braisa, trying to reconcile it with the opinion of Rav, it's very difficult. Rav is a believer in carryover, that if you start with a machshava of pigul and you don't say anything from that point forward, the machshava carries over throughout. And this Bryce over here, Gemara made valiant attempts of defending Rav, involving two Kohen Gadols, involving machshava for one and three, involving machshava for one and two, but none of it really fits into the simple lashon of the Bryce.
No. According to this premise that there's a concept of carryover, right? If you're going to subscribe to that, then there's never a machloket between the Rabbanan and the Meir because there's no such concept of chatzimatir.
Rav would tell you, that the machlokets would be in a scenario where for avoda one, I didn't have machshava, and then for the avoda two, I did. Carryover only works.
That's not a continuation, but
right.
But the thing is, if he does it with the first one, there's no chatzimatir.
No.
But he does it with first level.
I didn't make my point clear. I didn't mean avoda. I meant, let's talk about the burning, right? The burning of the lavona and the burning of the comets and the lavona. Where there, it's one avoda that has two parts to it. So there, Rav would tell you that if for that first part he was quiet, and the second part he had a machshava, so you can't, right there you can't say
carryover. There's no continuation there because it's the second half.
Rav would tell you that's the only time that the chachamim would say chatimatir.
But if he started with the first,
correct.
One, there's no argument. There's
that's exactly correct. Amar Mar. top of the page, right, says Zayin Amud Beis. Amamar, Rameir Omer Pigol V'chayev Malav. Karis Mechti, Karis L'mechayev Bad Karatzos Kasher. I'm sorry. Karis L'mechayev Ad Sheikrivu Kol Hamatirim. Damamar, Yeratzei Karatzos Kasher, Kacharatzos Pasol. One of the most basic rules of pigol, which we've said many times already, is that in order for there to be pigol, you have to do the remaining avodas correctly. Okay? So Maratzas Kasher Achivu Achiyukrivu Kol Hamatirim Afartzas Pasol Achiyukrivu Kol Hamatirim. And the Gemara over here asks a very fundamental question. The Gemara in Zvachim asks the very same question and it's going to give the very same answer. The High Kevin the Chasher Babifnim Paslei. Look, let's go to our Yom Kippur scenario. Right? He first said he had a machshavas pigol. Didn't he disqualify the animal? Now, before you jump and say no, he didn't. But just let the Gemara take its course. Didn't you? Hasn't he passed it with that machshava? And ki ma de behechal. And so now, when he's sprinkling in the hechal, maya ba'amahu de kamade. It's at that point in time. I know physically it's called blood. But halachically, legally, could be water for all you know. Meaning, it's disqualified. So, Amar Rabba, Mashkach Laba, Arba Aparim, Arba Seirim. So Rabba gives an answer, and Rabba says, well, you know, we can construct a case where you have four bulls and four goats, and you do one set with one of the bull and one of the goat, and the second set with one of the bull and one of the goat, and we could construct the case that way. And with each bull, you're doing one full set. Rava Amar, and Rava says, you don't have to say that. Because really, the answer could be much more fundamental. Afilu tema parachad v'sirachad. Lifgule meratze. So the Gemara gives a very fundamental answer. No. Your whole question was based on a false premise. The question was, well, since he had a machshav of pigol for the first set, that ruins the animal. It doesn't ruin the animal. In other words, what is now happening at this point, from this point forward, is we're setting ourselves up for pigol, meaning that pigol can only occur if the other avodas are done correctly. So it's not just sprinkling water. It's now, is pigol going to transpire? So you are being meratzeh in terms of pigol. So no. In other words, no. At this point in time, no.
If you are starting with pigol, it has to be always pigol, or you can correct it later.
It can never be corrected. But in other words, pigol will not be actualized until the whole thing is done. Uh-huh. So the answer the Gemara is giving, it's fundamental, is that yes, when you start with pigol, and you have 43 zrikas to do on Yom Kippur.
Make one mistake.
So if you have 43 sprinklings, your first sprinkling was done with a machshav of pigol, so now that's potential.
Right.
It's only going to be actualized when you do the remaining 42. So you want to? The Gemara's argument was, well, you ruined it. No, you've started the ball rolling, so that when you finish the next 42,
you just created a potential.
Right, you've created potential, and the other 42 are actualized. Okay, now the Gemara is going to get extraordinarily technical. Arbayim v'shalosh, we said on Yom Kippur there are 43 sprinklings. V'atanya, Arbayim v'sheva, great review, we did this already. Mm-hmm. Right, though, we have a brisa says 47. Lokasha ha-kamanda amar marvin l'kronos ha-kamanda amar eima arvin. So the Gemara says, remember, do I mix the blood for the four corners of the Mizbech ha-panimi, or do I not? That's subject to a debate. If I don't mix, so that means that I have to do an application of four of the bull and four of the goat. That gives us another four. That took us from 43 to 47.
And then you mix it and they'll put the seven in the center?
No, right. And then And then afterwards, for the center, by the way, everyone agrees.
That's correct.
That Tanya Arben Vishmona, the Gemara says, we have a brisa that says 48. Lokasha, Kamandam Shiraim Akvin, Hankamandam Shiraim Lama Akvin. And then there is one more brisa that says the number 48. One opinion is that when you pour, after doing all the sprinklings, we all know the mitzvah is, what do I do with the remaining blood? Go outside to the courtyard and sprinkle the rest of the blood onto the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Is that essential? That's subject to a debate.
Pour.
If you hold that that's essential, so now we got to the number 48. Okay, very good. Okay, we'll pause over here in the Gemara. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. Everyone have a great Shabbos. Tomorrow, plan on finishing the perek, starting the third perek already of the Masechta. I know it seems to be going very quickly. Third perek is going to be a little bit longer than the fourth, and then fourth perek of Menachos. Everyone should get excited. I mean, every day should be exciting. But
what is that about?
Fourth perek is Tcheles.
Oh.
Fourth perek of Menachos.